Hello, everyone. This is We Have Thoughts, and we are here with our Conversations with Oscar Rewind. And this week, we're talking about Manchester by the Sea. It was nominated for 6 total Oscars: Best Original Screenplay, Best Actor, Best Supporting Actor, Best Supporting Actress, and Best Director. It won 2 out of the 6. My name is Joy.
I'm Anna.
And I'm Crystal.
We should say that it won Best Actor and Best...
Best Actor and Best Original Screenplay. Yeah.
Not and bad. We're the sluts.
Oh my God. Speaking of the sluts, quick pause before we get into the actual film. Been watching Don't Fall Into the Lava, or The Floor is Lava.
Don't Fall Into the Lava.
The Floor is Lava. And so they're trios. So me and Crystal thought we can totally do that. Not really, but yeah. And we were thinking our trio name would be the Roomies, but I totally forgot. We're going to be the Sluts.
We're the Sluts. So it's still a Twitter banner, right?
Yeah.
I was telling her, I don't know that like we could actually get on the show because it would just, they have to be censoring us the whole time. It would be hilarious. And then Joy is like, we'll get our own spinoff show. It'll be great.
Yeah, that's how we get our spinoff. Because we'll be so entertaining.
That's how we become famous.
Basically,
we found our ticket.
Okay. Before we get into it, we have some shout outs that we forgot to do last.
Oh, yeah!
Thank you.
So, first shout out, I just got back from visiting some family down in the valley. And for those folks who don't know, that is South Texas, the Rio Grande Valley. My cousin Marisa, she listens. She only listens to the movies she knows.
That's nice.
And she laughed really hard when we opened it up and we're like, for our 2 listeners, all 2 of you. She thought that was hilarious.
That was for her.
Yeah.
Also, because of us, she listens to our favorite other podcast that loves us so much. Save Me.
CYC.
CYC.
I wish you guys could have seen the blank look on Anna's face.
That was my favorite.
Eyes just becoming my entire face as I forgot your name. I love you guys. I love you.
Fried Papipa and Maite from Cabronas y Chingonas.
We love them very much.
Yes.
Welcome to your listener.
they posted a really good episode last week.
And Joy, your shout out?
Oh my God. So now we have a total of 3 listeners because I was also visiting family and my cousin Becky and her boyfriend Kenny, we were talking about what movies to watch and the Moonlight popped up on Netflix and they were talking about, oh my God, we love that movie. And then Kenny was like, oh yeah. So I listened to your podcast and I was like, what? You know that our podcast exists, first of all. He's like, yeah. And then we started talking about Moonlight and, like, crying. It was great.
So I have a question. What's it like to have supportive families?
Dang, Crystal!
But, you know, whatever. It's fine. Anyways, next subject.
You know, if we censored ourselves, some of your family would listen.
All right.
But
we're very uncensored around here.
I have a hard time censoring my fucks.
Well, also same.
Anyways, I'm just going.
But yay.
I'll go cry in the corner. I'll be right back.
We love you. We support you.
Well, 4 listeners because, you know, Fried Puppy Bot. Okay, to our 4 total listeners, thank you so much. We super appreciate you. You're really fucking cool. Anyways, yeah.
Manchester by the Sea.
Yeah. Ooh. Different.
Totally different. Yeah, tonal shift here.
Yeah, the movie was so exciting and having the edge of my seat. I was like nervous energy the entire time. I totally didn't nap through it.
So Anna and I have seen this before. Joy has not. So this is Joy's
first watch of this movie.
Probably last, I would imagine. But
I do think it is important to note that both times I watched this movie, I napped through different parts of it. So
you did see the whole movie.
Beginning to end? questionable. But I know the story, so.
That's important. That's important.
I'm here.
So that really tells you how much you enjoyed it.
I have to say that as much as I don't think. Oh, yeah, sorry. As much as I think that Casey Affleck shouldn't have won, and I hate to say it, but I really do think he did a good job.
Yeah. The same thing.
Especially the scene where he's in the police station. He's describing what happened with everything in the house and whatever. It's really, he just, the whole movie, it's really great. I hate to admit it, but yeah, he did a really good job. And actually, everyone in the movie did a good job. Lucas Hedges is also really great. He could have been nominated, that's fine. It feels, the movie itself feels very safe. There's not, like, a lot to it. It's very, I don't even know how to describe it. Yeah, it's very quiet.
I thought the same thing this time around. I thought Casey Affleck was giving a very quiet, nuanced performance.
Yeah.
And I thought there was a lot of greatness there, but I don't think he should have won. I think it should have gone to Denzel.
Agreed.
Yeah. I will also third that.
But yeah, and what's crazy is this should be my type of movie. I mean, it is.
It's indie.
I love the quiet, sleepy, simple stories, especially when they're sad, because
yeah, love sad movies.
Real sad.
Sadness is my personality, so. But this one, I don't know what it is. It's a little too sleepy for me.
It didn't go anywhere enough to be like a fantastic movie. It just was there. Another thing too, that it won original screenplay, which I disagree with, because I never actually saw The Lobster, but just from knowing the story itself, I thought that should have won.
Yeah. Same here.
From concept wise and like the clips that I've seen of it, it seems very creative. And I think us having watched The Favorite even lends more to that, because you know that Yorgos's kind of stories are not typical.
Yeah, they're different.
And even with, you know, just knowing the main context of The Lobster, I feel like that it's such a great idea. And I think, you know,
Even I don't agree with it winning.
Even like
nominated for original screenplay.
Hell or High Water, La La Land, and then 20th Century Woman.
Did you watch that? 20th Century Women?
I haven't yet.
Okay.
Have you?
It's Annette Bening, right?
Annette Bening, the
Greta Gerwig, right?
Greta Gerwig and Fanning. The Elle Fanning?
One of the Fanning sisters.
I didn't want to watch it because it looked very white to me.
Well, I mean,
it's Greta Gerwig, so.
Manchester by the Sea was also very.
No, I know, but I remember seeing the trailer for 20th Century Women, and I was ooh, women. Oh, they're, okay. Whatever. So I just passed on it because there were so many other good films that year. So I was like, I'll watch something else. I was going into, because I hadn't seen it before yesterday. And I was expecting it because I knew sort of the plot. I had an idea of what it was, and then from seeing all the clips and shit. I thought it was going to be, it still has that very much like indie feel, but it's very streamlined. It's almost like not natural how like, I guess safe everything is. Everything seems really like monotone.
Oh, okay.
I was expecting it to be a little more raw. Like everyone was talking about Casey Affleck's performance. Like, oh my gosh, it's so like, you know, it's just so real and natural and whatever. And I was like, I mean, in one way, yes, but in another way, like, I feel like, I don't know. It was too plain.
I don't think the risks were high enough.
Yeah. No, because okay, so the scene in the police station, the scene where he's in Kyle Chandler's arms, is that his name?
Yeah.
When he's in arms after the fire and whatever, and he just kind of like crumbles into him, like that scene, I felt it, but I felt like, and really honestly, I'm kind of okay with it being in Best Original Screenplay because
okay.
I feel that Casey Affleck's acting was really held up mostly by the script and the directing.
Yeah.
I think that's what gave him that push of like, oh, this is a great role. And it's not necessarily that it's a great role, but it's more so that the story and the directing came together in a certain way that it was carrying the performance almost. The performance was very like subdued, very much like simmering beneath the surface. And I think that was more like, I feel like that was more of a director's choice rather than an acting choice, because everybody kind of seems like that. There's only really like two or three moments when people like are very affected, you know?
Yeah. I get what you're saying.
Was it that just alarm, Crystal?
Yeah, it's face mask time.
For face
which
time?
I have been kind of doing, sort of.
Been a while since I've heard that alarm.
You're welcome.
It was just like really stoic. Like I was like, I've seen firsthand like people dealing with grief. I've dealt with grief and like things like this. And I know this is a completely different situation because like these are his three kids. And I understand that. But at the same time, I'm like, you look at Michelle Williams and what she was given to work with, and you look at what he was given to work with, and it's pretty similar. They just have like a very different varying amount of screen time.
Yeah, she was in like 12 minutes of this entire movie.
She was like there for 5 seconds. I also have a problem with that. It just wasn't, there was just so much hype around his performance. And I was like, really, I think it's more due to the writing and the directing. Not really him. He was kind of just
there. So you think without those things, yeah, he wouldn't have gotten as much recognition for it?
Yeah, because I think the story was interesting. I was interested. I think this movie, it's not amazing, but it's like, it's good.
Yeah.
But it's more interesting than it is good, if that makes sense.
Okay. I got you. You know what's interesting to me is, this is a problem I didn't even think about, because I don't, you know, for listeners, the four that listen to us, we live in Texas, and so it doesn't really snow. It snows for like 5 minutes maybe, and then that's it. Or it's really just sleet. So I didn't realize the problem of like having to wait till the next season to bury someone. That I learned about that when I first watched the movie. Like, oh my God, that's like an issue I didn't even think about.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Which apparently there is something like a thermal digger or something to where it's not as big of a problem as it used to be.
Oh, okay.
But older cemeteries do require that you wait.
Yeah, because he was saying it's like a historical place or something.
Which, for this napper, I had missed that. And then when they're burying him, I was like, wow, so this all took place in like a week? And then I was like, no, that's not true. I had to stop and like think about it. I go, no, okay. And then that's when I read the little thing on the trivia. I was like, okay, it's been some time.
I do like Lucas Hedges' performance. I think he did a good job. Especially whenever he's starting to freak out because there's like frozen chicken. He's thinking about his dad, and like he's a kid, so he's like losing his brain a little bit. I mean, so it's like my dad, and it's different because like his dad had been sick for a long time, so he knew this was eventually gonna happen. So like, wasn't a complete surprise, but he's still upset because his dad was a good guy, and so.
And you can see that with him, like he's trying to like, I'm going to be cool about it because I knew it was going to happen. So I'm going to be okay. But he's like not okay because that's his dad.
Yeah.
And also I think it's because he knew that if he did fall apart, his uncle wouldn't be able to handle it the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you feel that when you're grieving, you get a sense of who's going to be able to help you.
Yeah.
Right.
And there are times where you're like, I have to hold it together because nobody here is going to be able to carry me.
Preach it, girl.
Ooh. Same. Ooh. And a lot of the times, and it was really interesting watching this movie, I was like, a lot of the times, it's the kids, the, like, young people that have to be there and support the adults because the adults have no idea how to process their grief, how to process their emotions. They've never had to handle this before. And the kids just kind of have to learn by, like, being thrown into it and, like, having to deal with it.
Whenever I think about children and grief, I think about, okay, have you ever seen or heard of the movie Flowers in the Attic?
Yes.
Yes,
I,
okay.
I know the story, but I've never read it or seen it.
I watched the movie and I was, like, probably too young. But in the beginning of the movie, it's about these, like, four kids and their parents, or one of their parents dies, and so it's their first major death. They don't know how to deal with it. And the oldest daughter is, like, kind of mad at her mom because she's like, she should have got us a dog. She should have got us a pet. And the brother's like, why? He's like, because so we would know what death is like. So we would to experience, not our first shouldn't have been our father. Like, she's getting upset. And that's a thing I, like, stick in my brain forever. Like, oh, okay. Like, that makes sense. I mean, not sure why you get a pet because you want them to die. But, like, it's interesting that, like, because I didn't grow up with a pet. So I would want to ask someone who grew up with a pet and has since passed, did that help you with deaths further along? Did it make it a little bit easier? Was it, like, not as much of a shock to you?
The dogs I grew up with didn't die until I was in college.
Okay.
Ooh, that one hurt. And I want to say it was after my grandmother had passed.
Oh, all right. Okay.
Mm. Maybe it was. Yeah, it was after my grandmother had passed. And my mom's mom died when I was in the sixth grade. So I had experienced death before that.
Before that? Okay. It's just always something I've always thought about.
Yeah.
When I was, like, I remember watching that movie as a kid and thinking, like, oh, okay.
Because.
And I'm thinking, like, should I get a pet? Like, should I understand what death means?
Especially if it's, like, an animal you really have to take care of. Not, like, a fish that you just feed once a day and maybe look at every once in a while. But, like, a dog you have to take out and you have to potty train. And you put in the work.
That you have to train.
You raised this animal. I'm sure it's the same with some reptiles and rodents. We have to, like, clean the cage and you're more involved. I wouldn't know. I've never had a reptile or rodent. But because of the investment and the time that you spend with them, it definitely creates a more emotional bond.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's definitely helpful. And processing all kinds of emotions.
That's always what I think about. Because that movie is wild, by the way, if you ever seen it.
I've read it. I know the story. I've never read it or watched it, but I know the story, and that is...
It's wild. I was way too young to be watching that
movie. I'm gonna, you're going to have to tell me what it's about later.
There's incest.
Oh, nice.
It's terrible. That's the first place I learned what that was. I had no idea. And I was like, but they're related. I was so confused.
Oh, God.
It was bad. Anyways, talk about this movie now.
So I was really torn on Lee, on the character, because mm-hmm. I was like, on the one hand, like, this is the most fucking traumatic thing he's had to deal with because he has to, like, come back and face, like, the town and where he lived and where his worst day of his life ever happened.
But also so, with all the good memories from when they were happy.
Yeah. So, like, on the one hand, like, I totally understand him being, like, immature and not being able to process things and, like, freaking out and all of that. So I don't want to give him a pass for being a shitty bitch, but, like, he's also, like, he really has not processed his grief at all.
No, he has not.
And clearly it's been years because, you know, Patrick was, like, a little kid when all of this happened. And you can really see it when, like, Michelle Williams goes to talk to him towards the end of the movie. Like, she's still fucking hurt. Her heart is still broken, and her heart will always be broken, like she said. And I really like that line. But she has been able to, like, evolve and learn and process, and he's not letting himself. And that's why he's even more broken up about this now, having to live with that.
Well, and the difference between him and Michelle Williams' character is it's his fault.
Right.
She was a victim too.
Right, right. Of
what happened, and he essentially is the one to blame.
Mm-hmm.
So I get that.
It's hard. It's a hard line. The guilt
is so much harder to deal with than the loss.
Yeah. Yeah, and I completely understand, like, this, it's his scene in the police station, like, I don't get it, because I've, like, never, I haven't personally been through a situation like that, but I understand why he would want to, because it's just, like,
yeah.
in that moment, you see when they're, like, responding to him and be, like, it wasn't your fault, but technically, like, they're still not here.
Yeah.
So it hits them all at the same time, and he's just like, I'm going to give up.
To know that, because my situation was not nearly as extreme, but I have been in that position where I feel extreme guilt over what has happened, over an event. And for months, the game was, what if, you know, what if this had happened, or what if that had happened? And
right. So
that was nonstop for me. And knowing that you've caused or were a part of anybody else's pain is the worst feeling.
Yeah.
Like, knowing that what I did hurt somebody, or because I did XYZ or whatever, yeah, that's the worst part. The worst part.
Yeah, which is why he loves going to bars and, like, starting fights with other people, because he's, like, he really thinks that he deserves the pain. He deserves to suffer.
Yeah.
And it's all built up in his, like, to that moment, even now in the future where he's having to deal with his brother's death, like, he still has all of his suicidal tendencies. They're just a lot slower.
Right.
It's a well-written character.
I see, that's why I'm like, Casey Affleck, fine, whatever. But, like, the writing is something that I feel is stronger than this. Like, the writing, I'm going to give it that nomination, and I'll...
Well, the nomination, I agree with the nomination. You don't think so?
I don't hate the writing.
Okay, all right.
I don't hate the writing in the aspect of the character. I think the writing had other problems.
Though, do you think it
should other have problems? Been? I think it's something that the writing stands because the directing is there to help it. And Casey Affleck is only doing good because he has these two strong things behind it. I was reading a lot. I haven't seen his, like, previous movie. I don't remember what it's called. It starts with an M. It's some lady's name.
Margaret.
Yeah. But I did read a lot of people that really love this movie, like, loved his previous work, loved Margaret, but also thought that Margaret was stronger than this, which I'd be interested to see, like,
okay,
what that's about, because I read it has a lot of similar themes. So I'd be interested to see, watch that and see how that comes about. I think where the, sorry, what?
No, go ahead, finish.
I think where the writing fails is the fact that, like, I know this movie is about, like, Lee and him and his life, but I think where it fails is that, like, it's so blatantly misogynistic. Like, it's so disastrously misogynistic. This little kid gets to run around and have two girlfriends, and his uncle's just like, sure, whatever, you're a young boy, whatever. And, like, Michelle Williams just gets to be, like, the bitchy wife and then, like, a suffering mom. And so, they, like, those two were allowed to be, like, really multidimensional and really, like, fleshed out. And I know that the movie's about them, but, like, even, like, the other male supporting characters, you get them. Like, you understand them. But the, like, Patrick's mom is just, like, a drunk alcoholic and, you know, she's just off screen for the almost entirety of the movie.
What do you think of that when he goes to have dinner with her, Matthew Broderick? Like,
First of all, Matthew Broderick, that was so random. But I looked it up. He was in Margaret. He was in Margaret, I think. So I guess he's just like working with him. Matthew Broderick is such, when he commits to his awkwardness, it's awkward. It's so like, it's so cringy. Like I couldn't, the secondhand like embarrassment that I was getting from that whole scene was just, ugh, this is awful. But I don't know. I feel like the women didn't have like any agency in this at all. So I'd be interested to see like his previous movie and see how he writes that female character.
I saw Margaret.
You did?
I did. I remember what it's about. It's about a girl who witnesses this horrific accident and her dealing with it. I remember thinking there were some really strange moments in that film.
Strange like how?
Like, okay, it's Anna Paquin and Matt Damon, I believe. And he's her teacher, or he's, oh man, it's been a while. I believe he's her teacher. And like, she just goes up to him and she's like, hey, do you want a blowjob? Like, kind of out of the blue. And you're just like, child, what?
Yikes.
I need to rewatch it because I could be speaking. it was weird. But I remember who I was watching it with. We were like, what the fuck is this movie?
So maybe he doesn't know how to write female characters.
I want to know. I would like to be proven wrong, but I don't know if I will be.
This would be an interesting script to read, though, to see how much of the character is in the script and how much is added on. Yes.
That's what I wanted. That's what I didn't look for it. I was really late last night and I was sleepy. I didn't look for it, but I'd be really interested because it feels like something that he's not. I feel like it's something that was written for him, not necessarily that he was choosing to do.
Who do you think? But I know it's kind of like on the spot question, and I hate those. Oh, but
shit.
If there was another actor you think you could do a job like this, maybe better than in Casey Affleck, who do you think would be?
Well, it's really funny when I was going through and reading the reviews is that, like, the first iteration of this, it was going to be Matt Damon and Timothy Chalamet.
Yeah.
Oh!
Which would have been...
interesting.
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe Matt Damon could have done better.
I love Matt Damon.
He's fine. I don't know why. I'm not, like... He's all right.
You like the Vroom Vroom movie, so.
The Vroom Vroom movie.
I like Matt Damon. I do think he's one of those actors, though, that is more talk than he is do. Like, talk about change and progress, but he mostly works with white directors and male writers and shit. So it's like,
yeah,
you are one of the last few, like, movie stars.
Yeah.
Like, you have the power and the voice to create change. And
he's starting to use that platform, correct?
He mostly uses it for clean water, which I'm on board with. I love that he fights for clean water in other countries. But I think... I think if he were to work with more women and more people of color... I would feel better about him, but I do enjoy a good Matt Damon, especially when he just pops up in movies that you have no idea about. Oh, hey, I didn't know you were in this.
He's my favorite semi problematic white man.
And you know what I did? Okay, so your question, I was actually thinking about it last night after I read that it would have been Matt Damon, and I think, I've seen him kind of play like a broken down kind of dude, and I feel like he does have the talent and the capacity to do it. I'd be very interested to see his dynamic with Lucas Hedges. Mm-hmm. I feel like that pairing would be really interesting. But I feel like if Sorry.
Okay.
I feel like if we had Matt Damon, I'd have to change Kyle Chandler because I feel like they're... I feel like the dynamic is different because Kyle Chandler does seem like an older brother to Casey Affleck.
Okay, all right.
But I feel like Kyle Chandler and Matt Damon would be more of like the same age.
Okay.
I think Kyle Chandler in the Casey Affleck role.
You know what? Ooh. That would be... That's an inspired choice. I would love that. Actually. I think that would be great. I love
Kyle Chandler.
Same.
He's I haven't so seen him cute. In a lot, but like he's
so really, handsome.
Even just in this supporting role, like I was really interested. I was very intrigued. He's interesting. He's not boring at all.
No, he's that face is not boring.
Oh my God, I'm not talking about his face.
So when I watched the movie today, for some reason I had started another movie and then I was like, fuck, I need to put on Manchester by the Sea. So I switched over. And for some reason, Manchester by the Sea was so blurry. The entire movie, the connection was bad. I stopped it. I like turned everything off, turned it back on. And again, it was blurry. The other movie I had started watching was completely fine.
It's a sign.
I was like, you know what? I'm probably going to fall asleep anyway. And you know what I did. So. Crystal, what are your thoughts on the score?
I like that it was all, I love all the classical music. So it's very interesting. It's like underlying dramatic, you know, especially because the story with his kids and all that stuff is very dramatic and sad. And so I like that it was like classical, like operatic type stuff, you know.
See, I enjoyed it, but I also felt like it did not fit the film.
Really?
To me, it was very off-putting.
Oh,
I feel like that too, but I feel like that aided the story. I feel like that worked for it because like everything was so like maybe not clinical, but like there was like a method to everything. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there was a method to the score. I actually really liked the score, that it was like so haunting.
It would have been better if I watched it all.
Maybe, yeah.
But I just found it like disjointed.
Yeah, but I feel like I don't know that it kind of worked for the movie.
I feel like if it was just like a normal, sad long piano type score, we wouldn't have paid attention to it.
Yeah, but it was different because it wasn't piano. What was it?
No, it was that classical type like. Orchestratic, operatic type of music.
Yeah, because it wasn't just like... Yeah.
It was like classical pieces, like traditional.
And there was a choir.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I love the choir. The choir was so good because it just felt like... You know what it reminded me of?
It
was just like... I'm sure 100% he has a million voices in his head telling him he's a piece of shit. And the choir are the voices.
Oh, wow. That's great. Yeah.
That's how I felt. I was like, it's just like this white noise constant, like, especially when like things get heavy, because the score really only kicks in when like shit starts happening. And so that's when that happens.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed that. You know what? I didn't hate this movie. I really didn't.
You were like, again, you're like, oh, I'm gonna hate it. I'm not gonna like it. Wow.
But you know what?
Look at you. It's an exact same thing about Ford vs. Ferrari. And you
okay, but that was because it was something else.
Don't trust yourself physically.
Is that Gemini? Is this a back and forth?
So, yeah. Any final thoughts?
The editing was good. It was very smooth. It was like, it was... very seamless. I don't know. Everything just seems sort of like to fit together.
It was well packaged.
It really was. It felt like it's supposed to be like an indie, but it's like done not like money. An indie. Yeah, it's done like a, what'd you say, Anna?
With money.
With more money, yeah.
And the Amazon money.
The Amazon money, yeah. Because like indies to me always feel so like.
Cheap?
No! Indies always feel more intimate.
Yeah.
I feel like even though like we were in very close in their lives, it didn't have that same feeling.
It was like, maybe it was like, it was painted over with like a gloss of.
Yes, that's what it was. It had some money thrown on it.
Like a fancy Hollywood gloss.
Yeah, I think that's what
it was. That stuff they put on their legs to look shiny on talk shows.
Exactly what it is. Exactly.
I remember after you first saw it, Crystal, you came home and you were like, it was long. It was too long.
Oh, yeah.
It was over 2 hours, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like 2:15, I want to say. Yeah. And I can concur because now too long.
Yeah, but that's not like my overall like gripe about Hollywood. It's like learn how to edit. Like I know this is your art and like you want to your art, but like there's so many movies I've seen as last couple 5 years, whatever, where 20 minutes. Maybe more could have been cut from the movie. And I feel like in this one, maybe not 20 minutes, but there could have been some cuts and scrapes somewhere else.
You know what? It's like, I know that directors love, especially like a character movie, like I guess this is, they love to like take a beat and like sit with the character. And that's fine if it's adding something to the story, but I felt like a lot of, especially like when he's driving around in the beginning, I'm just like, there's no reason for me to be seeing him driving. The shot is beautiful, but like, there's no reason for me to be sitting here with him because his face isn't changing. He's like not doing anything. Like this isn't adding anything to the story. Like we could just cut ahead to him, maybe drive for like 20 seconds.
So maybe the editing wasn't that great then.
Well, I mean like transitions.
Oh, okay.
Transitions were smooth. Yeah, it's just, It's good, but it's like missing something. Like I thought knowing the story, I would like, oh, really feel and like connect with this more. And like, I kind of did, but like not fully. So I don't know what it was.
When you first watched it, did you go into it blind? And did you not know anything about it or?
No, this is my first time watching it.
No, but you didn't know anything like any about the story, nothing?
No, I mean, okay. There was a couple plot points I knew.
Okay.
I didn't know that he had a brother and that was what started this whole thing.
Okay.
The only thing I knew is about the kids because the scene that I saw was the Michelle Williams and him.
Oh, okay.
In the,
that's what I mean. Okay.
Yeah. All right. So I saw that. So yeah.
Any final thoughts?
It was literally and figuratively a little cold.
She's proud of that one, you can tell. Mine, I would say meh, but it's more like a little bit more than a meh. Like a meh, you know?
What did you guys rate it on Letterboxd?
Oh, that's a great question.
I was reading through some of them on Letterboxd, and someone said it was better than Moonlight.
Shut the fuck up.
Oh my god.
Blasphemy in this house.
And I was like, Man Judged by the Sea is greater than Moonlight. It's greater than La La Land. I was like, fuck you.
This Letterboxd review from a girl named Haley, it says, will Michelle Williams ever be in a movie where her marriage goes successfully?
Also, people were referring to Michelle Williams' wig as a Party City wig.
Oh, wasn't that, well, it wasn't that bad, was it?
I mean, it wasn't great.
I mean,
it's got some high reviews on here.
Yeah, its average is 4 stars.
Which I think that's what I gave it, actually.
Oh, really?
David Elric. He really liked it.
He did. He gave it 4.5.
I love that man. He can do whatever, say whatever he wants. That's fine. Do you have your ranking, Anna?
Yeah, of course.
Well, I'll go first.
You can go first. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm gonna start from the bottom, like Drake. Hold on. Let me put my glasses on because I'm blind. 1 moment. Okay, Hacksaw Ridge, obviously. Hell or High Water. La La Land.
Oh.
Manchester by the Sea. Lion. Fences. Hidden Figures and Arrival.
Oh, I missed one.
I feel like Manchester by the Sea goes up. See, okay, now I'm looking at this and I regret it. Maybe La La Land could be above Manchester by the Sea.
Are they interchangeable?
Interchangeable, but I think they're definitely below Lion because Lion made me feel things and moved my soul. So, shit. And Hell or High Water was just kind of like there.
Shit.
So that's where I. Shit. My ranking.
Okay. Oh God.
Fine. Hacksaw Ridge, Hell or High Water, Manchester by the Sea, Hidden Figures, La La Land, Lion, Fences, Arrival.
Arrival. Still number one. That's right, girl. Joy?
I literally had to, like, cut out little pieces on them. Like, oh, shit.
Stop throwing it
over. Oh, my God.
Because I couldn't write them down. It wasn't working for me. This is hard. Well, we know that one's over there. Okay. Shit. Okay. Hacksaw Ridge, duh. Hell or High Water. Yeah, Manchester by the Sea. Or La La Land. Those are flippable for me. Oh God, this is really hard. Shit. Okay. Fences, Lion, Hidden Figures, Arrival.
I love that we still put Arrival at the top. I love that. Which I have a feeling is going to change come next week.
I don't know. I'm really worried about it.
We'll have to see. I'm excited.
Because I love Arrival so goddamn much.
It is really good. So would we recommend...
I would love some controversy, so, like, ooh, bring it on, bitch.
Ding, ding, ding. So, okay, would you recommend this movie to other people, Manchester by the Sea?
If they like films. I said films. That was weird. If they like movies.
What is the word for people who like films?
A film buff?
Cinephile.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend this to, like, my sister, who doesn't really enjoy these kinds of movies. She,
yeah.
Or my aunt, who can't stand the sad movies. Like, there are people I would not recommend this to. If people like watching Oscar-nominated movies, if they like, if they are cinephiles, then yeah, I would say give it a shot.
I agree.
I would say it's not for everyone.
No.
I probably will never watch this again.
I don't know if you can watch all the way through.
If you ever have trouble going to sleep, just put this movie on.
That's what it is. Oh my God.
Bingo, bingo.
I feel like the people that enjoy this are people that are totally okay with repressing their emotions.
Oh.
I'm just putting that because that's what I really saw in the reviews, like the people that liked it. I saw some of the other movies they liked and I was like, I can figure out what kind of
yikes
man this person is.
Ooh. All right. And with that, I think we're done.
Sorry, dude.
I think we're good. Thanks for listening, everyone. Next
week we're gonna conclude the 2017 Oscars.
One more.
Gonna be a really exciting episode, so make sure you tune in. And then soon after that will be 2016 Oscars.
Oh my God.
Woo!
New movies, new year, new gripes.
New gripes? Yeah, exactly.
I haven't even looked at the list.
Girl, we're gonna look here in a minute. So.
Okay. New qualms.
Yeah.
Yay, I love some qualms.
Yay!
Okay, so bye.
Bye.